The set.
Can we please have quiet on the set?
Hey, and you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show, FOW Live, here on the Podbean Live app. I am Patrick. With me are Danny Danger, Eric, and Mika, with, you know, undefined. Fellas and fella, we're here 30 minutes later than usual, time, but we are back. And I know we say we only do this, like, every other week, but man, I feel like we got lots to talk about after this past upcoming weekend, that I just couldn't wait a whole other week. I just could not.
Well, I mean, I get it. I mean, we didn't get, you know, when we spoke last, we were making our predictions for In Your House, for the Hate in the Crate, and the Best in Super Juniors final, which had not happened yet, you know, so we have news about that, news about, you know, some more news coming out of the Double or Nothing event, and leading into Forbidden Door, and, you know, and then all the gossip and everything that comes with it. So we got a lot to talk about indeed.
Yeah. Let's just start with the latest fallout from Double or Nothing. Now it's live on Dynamite. I think it's on Dynamite. CM Punk is injured. It's gonna be out.
No, he apparently got injured either in the pay-per-view match or on Dynamite. He announced it
on Rampage. Friday. Okay.
Yeah,
I can't get my shit together.
Because on Wednesday he had the match where he was a multiple time match, and he was kind of slipping and falling, and everybody was like, "Oh, this is your brand new champion. He's just looking rough." And then we've come to find out that he was injured, and so I don't know if he injured himself in the match in the pay per view, or he injured himself when he first hit that hot tag and came in and kind of slipped on the ropes a little bit, and then that threw off his timing for several spots later in the match. But yeah, CM Punk is indeed injured. Was looking to, you know, forfeit the title. But apparently they're not going to have him forfeit the title. He's going to keep the title for now. And an interim champion will be crowned under, well, the first they announced one way. Then they announced this, made the press release of this Eliminator Series to crown the interim champion.
It was as convoluted as, you know, the G1 Climax math.
Is there anything TK loves more than an interim champion?
Ooh, signing somebody and then doing fuck all with them. He does that really, really a lot. He just signs somebody and brings them out, and everybody goes, "Oh, that's awesome. There are going to be so many great things here. They're going to have all these matches, all these great people," and then fuck all. So that's his favorite.
Destination's unknown.
I have a major announcement coming on Wednesday, friends. Make sure you watch, starting live at blah, 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 blah. He loves that too. And just putting his ugly mug out there for everybody to see. He loves that. He loves
Can he fix his hair?
Wrestling. Yeah. No, it's the cool look. It's the just got out of bed look, even though he's like a fucking multimillionaire. He looks like he just woke up and threw some clothes on and hopped on live television. And then he does lots of cocaine.
Cocaine! So what you're saying is it's not adrenaline in his soul.
It's always Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's it is amphetamines, not adrenaline.
He needs some adrenaline in his soul.
So yeah, Battle Royal to determine somebody who faces Moxley.
Yeah. It starts this Wednesday. Well, I guess it starts technically on Sunday. So the first part that will happen on Sunday is at Wrestling Dontaku for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Tanahashi, who is going to challenge CM Punk for the championship at Forbidden Door. Tanahashi will fight Hirooki Goto, and the winner of that match will advance to the finals of this Eliminator Series. Part two will happen on Dynamite. There's a Battle Royal to open the show. The winner of that Battle Royal will then face top-ranked number one contender Jon Moxley in the main event of Dynamite, and the winner of that match will enter the finals of the Eliminator Tournament. And at the Forbidden Door event, the winner of the Eliminator Series on Dynamite, the winner of the match at Dontaku will fight, and the person who wins that match will then be the interim champion, because CM Punk will be out, 3 to 6 months with his injury requiring surgery. So my guess is the interim championship, they will defend it several times. And then, of course, once Punk is healthy, they'll make a big deal about a unification match. But it was supposed to be the Summer of Punk, damn it. Summer Part of Punk 3.0. And instead, he's going to be in the hospital and doing rehab.
But here's my question. Wasn't Wardlow ranked number one like last week? Had Moxley become ranked number one?
Fans asked that kind of question to TK online. Of course, he answered in typical TK fashion. But basically, he said, John Moxley's undefeated. Whatever he says is canon, so you kind of have to some extent, right? So he claimed that since Moxley returned from his sabbatical, he's undefeated. And Moxley's higher level of competition and placement of matches on the card ranks him as number one. So, yes, Wardlow's undefeated, et cetera, but Wardlow hasn't fought the level, the caliber of opponents that Moxley has been defeating, nor in the high-profile positions. So for the first time in the ranking system, we're not only seeing that your win-loss matters, but also the caliber of these wins somehow mattering when there's multiple people with the same percentage ranking.
This is why rankings are stupid.
Well, I like them, but you have to remain consistent with them.
There you go.
And you have to lay the rules out clearly for everyone to see, rather than just adjusting and finessing the rules as needed for whatever you want to do.
But who cares about ratings in 2022?
If there is rankings and if there are, defined contenders, why is there a Battle Royal? Why is there this whole Eliminator Series? Why isn't just the number one contender the interim champion? Or do you take the number one contender and the number two contender? And there's your number one, there's your interim championship match. And then Tanahashi was going to challenge Punk. Well, Tanahashi can be the first challenger for the new interim champion. But that's not the way it works. We gotta do it over time, so that in theory you have to watch multiple times in order to get the story, and in theory, additional ratings and all those kind of good things that some people care about.
Austin Theory?
Nerds care about. No, he's not Austin Theory anymore. There's no Austin Theory. I've never heard of that person before. There's only one Austin in the World Wrestling Federation. His name is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And that's the bottom line.
There is nobody else in the World Wrestling Federation or the history of the World Wrestling Federation to have the name Austin, first or last name.
That guy sounds like a jobber.
You cannot replicate and duplicate first or last names in the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah. All right, so Let's go to in your house. I'm not gonna play the song as much as I want to play the song right now.
Please don't. It's fucking horrible.
That song was
loud. We played it last week, and it almost made our ears bleed. Okay.
Well, I can try again this time. See if it doesn't make you guys.
I will leave this call right now.
Do not.
Oh my god, you people! You don't know how to have fun. All right. Okay, in your house. The family defeated Legado del Fantasma. I guess now Legado has to be part of the family.
They have to become Italian mafiosos and start eating pasta for every meal.
What are they going to call Santos? Santos Two Tacos Escobar? Is Cruz del Toro even Mexican? He is.
Cool. Good for him. Well, now they all have to pretend to be Italian. That's the thing. They gotta start.
You
playing
just gotta
stick
say
ball.
Hey a lot.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh,
hey.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know why I expected more out of this match. I had higher expectations, but it felt like a short match for the opening match.
Because it was Legado, and they've done some really good stuff all as a unit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then
they've
you
got
have
another theme song.
Then you have another trend. D'Angelo, and then whoever his guys are, you know, we don't really know their experience level. Especially as a unit, you know. But from back in the
day, two times. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, apparently Italy and such.
At least the Legado colors of the t-shirt, black, red, and green, same colors. Isn't that the same telling colors?
They're just in a different order,
Italy has red, white, and green. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're the exact same colors, they're just in a different order,
Backwards, yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. The women's match was fun. Toxic Attraction retaining against Katana Chance. Still can't believe I called it Katana Chance. And Caden Carter. That was a fun match.
Casey and Caden are good, but as we found with Casey, she's much better in smaller doses, you know, rather than being a single competitor, she's much better with the team.
I see what you did there. Smaller
she's tiny.
Doses. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, she can come in and hit some cool moves and stuff. And then that's where her, she can do her wacky spots. On like a hot tag and stuff and sell a little bit, but a full match by herself is something that she's kind of struggled with over time. So throw them in the team, let them do some wacky moves, and let JC make her stupid faces, and let Gigi get in there and kick a few heads and that kind of thing.
Like I said last week,
the right team won, though, of course, is what's important.
All hell Gigi Dolan.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Carmelo Hayes is your new North American champion, dethroning Cameron Grimes.
Isn't this like Carmelo's like 14th reign as North American champion? I feel like he's had and lost that title several times.
It's only his second.
Okay. It just feels like he's had and lost it a bunch of times.
It feels like he's had a lot, yeah.
Melo, don't miss. Melo's a star in the making.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say. But...
dude's good as hell. He is good as hell.
Well, who said hell is good?
I apparently bruised my leg. When did that happen?
All the best music is associated with Satan, okay?
Doesn't make it good.
I have adrenaline in my soul.
It seems like you need to get that looked at.
Every thought is out control.
The NXT Women's Championship was on the line. Mandy Rose retains by defeating Wendy Shue.
As she should.
Yet again, the right person won. And I like Wendy. I do. As a person, as a character, as a professional. But her whole little like trickster gremlin character is taken a little too far for me. You know, that's not the way one should be acquiring title opportunities, as I mentioned last week. Good on Mandy for retaining her championship in that instance. And Toxic Attraction still controls the women's division here in the NXT 2.0.
They're the main attraction.
As they should.
See what I did there. All right. Puns.
We get to the men's tag team championships were also on the line as the Creed Brothers regained the titles by defeating Pretty Deadly.
They never there won. There you titles.
Go. I guess they won the trophies. That's right.
Yeah, they won the trophies, but they did not win the championships yet. It's the first time win the championship. And boy, busts out the Brock Lesnar special, but actually fucking connects with it and makes it look good. Amateur wrestler doing a shooting star press halfway across the fucking ring.
Not landing on the fucking head.
Not landing on his noggin, as he said in his post promo the next night. But Lesnar used to do that in FCW, and yeah, he would fly halfway across the ring. Of course, the ring was smaller, and he hadn't wrestled 35 minutes against the wrestling machine and Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, accounting his fatigue. Creed's come in, win the championships. Good deal, good
moment.
Now
get to stay in Diamond Mine, because the thing was, if they lost, they were kicked out of Diamond Mine.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. The all important crumbling diamond mine. Yeah. The mine had a couple accidents and some of their assets were buried under crumbling rock and
some of their assets found again. Some jade and left.
I mean, even before that, you had Coach leaving and Ivy's Ivy's kind of there, but she's not wrestling really. Like, I don't know what the fuck she's doing. She was doing something where she was testing recruits or some shit. Then she was working UK, but she was also like had that segment where she was like, you know, making people go to the ringer or something, testing them out.
Yeah,
just let her get in there.
Which I mean, if they did that, that could be fun, honestly. If it's done right, enough to join the Diamond Mine.
Yeah, but yet again, that's what you had coaches and managers for, not active wrestlers in the group testing people out.
Mm-hmm.
But who needs coaches and managers? You know, those are passe things in the world of sports entertainment. Really only have one, and his name is Paul Heyman, and then everybody else is not there.
And he's not really a manager; he's a wise man,
an advocate.
Is he still advocate? I thought that he called him something else.
He's the wise man.
Well, other than wise man, I thought he got him.
The innovator.
Okay. Braun Breaker defeats Joe Gacy to retain the NXT Championship.
Yet again, the right guy won. Nobody wants to see Joe Gacy with a championship belt. Get that fool the fuck off my TV.
I mean, of all the people to retain the job.
Damn.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
No love for Joe Gacy?
Can't retain his job, I mean, Joe Gacy can.
Not necessarily no love. I mean, you think about the talent that they let go.
Yes.
And compared to Joe Gacy.
The barn burner of Harlan.
Yeah. Parker Bordeaux.
Yeah, I mean, what a talent.
Well, they fumbled him from the get-go. We're not saying he's a great talent, but I feel like they took him in the wrong direction, and then therefore they were like, oh, crap, well, now we don't know what to do. And then they like...
I think
well,
it was just...
Let's just go ahead and get rid of him and maybe bring him back later. Like, he had all this buzz when he first signed. Everybody was like, this guy's going to be enormous.
He's and a new Brock Lesnar. I think yeah, he just didn't improve, and that's why they were just like, you know, we're done.
Probably. I mean, we never saw him in the ring.
He wrestled a few matches.
Yeah. I thought we only saw him, like, stalking people and maybe hitting somebody. I don't think we actually saw, like, an official match from him.
No, he legit wrestled. He wrestled one or two matches.
And they were just quick squashes.
That's how memorable it was.
Yeah, he squashed.
Yeah. It's one or two moves, and then the guys are done.
Yeah.
They get their $500, and they're 30 seconds on television, and they're happy.
Yeah, like you do.
Yeah.
Well, good show in your house. This was an easy to watch show. I mean, all matches, 15 minutes or less. That was, I mean, sort of refreshing, I guess, not having to watch a 35-minute match for once.
Yeah.
Following up, the NXT 2.0, Roxanne Perez wins the Women's Breakout Tournament.
Yet again, the right person wins that.
Yup. We stand Roxy in this house.
Yeah, that was a solid choice.
Roxy!
Yeah, so, not sure when their next special is. Maybe on SummerSlam. Who knows?
Probably well, SummerSlam.
So what is the winner of the breakout tournament gets a title shot, right? Like that's similar to the breakout tournament? Okay. I don't imagine she'll get her title shot at the next takeover event or in your house. She'll probably just get it on one of the weekly shows, you know, since she's supposed to be a breakout. She doesn't yet have a big star and a following. They're not going to put her on takeover just yet.
Mm.
So I don't How crazy is it going to be that Roxy's going to beat Mandy Rose for the title? Yeah.
I mean, that'd be wild. You know, they would treat it like a super major upset because, you know, Mandy's been with WWE for several years.
Who won the last women's breakout tournament?
This is the first.
I thought this was the first.
Was it the first?
Usually they do it. They've done the men's breakout tournament a couple times, but this is the first women's breakout tournament.
Yeah, this is the first.
And the men's breakout tournament usually doesn't go well for the guy.
No,
it's kind of like the kiss. It's kind of like the kiss of death. Yeah.
Just ask Jordan Miles.
Well, he kind of wanted the kiss. He kind of gave himself the kiss of death.
Yeah, he lost his smile.
Yeah,
lose it. WWE just kind of made it racist.
Yeah, well, no, they. Yeah, and then he was kind of like, "Just get me the fuck out of here." So that's a little bit different than like. Than them just going, you know. Yeah.
Who was it last year? It was Mello. It was Mello.
It was Mello, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind, it worked well for Mello.
There you go, yeah. So they're 50-50 for success rate of the breakout tournament.
Because Melo don't miss.
Sure. Apollo Crews is back on NXT. I guess he's going to challenge Bron Breakker.
Interesting, yeah.
He'll win the title and then lose it again. Just like Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, probably. Is he still active?
Did Apollo Crews win any championships?
He has in NXT? Not.
No.
He was only in NXT for about a cup of coffee before they pulled him up to the main roster.
And then he did fuck all on the main roster until he became Nigerian.
Yeah.
Still he Nigerian.
His African heritage.
Hey, did he bring Commander Aziz with him?
No, it was just by him himself.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I just had it on mute, so I don't know in what language he spoke, if he spoke in English or Nigerian.
I mean, he still spoke English.
He usually does his promos in English, yeah.
Just with it's a just Nigerian whether accent.
Whether he has the accent or not, yeah. But he's not speaking in Swahili or something, you know? Whatever, one of the many languages they may speak in Nigeria that I'm unfamiliar with. I apologize to our Nigerian listeners.
I wish they just let Apollo cook and call it a day.
Let's see here.
Just let that man fucking go.
He's too good to be just saddled with bullshit gimmicks.
Yep.
What the fuck?
The skull beat again.
I don't know what just happened.
I was trying to play this him talking. The freaking ads. Come on. Okay.
All right.
Adrenaline in my soul.
Brought to you by Cody Rhodes.
I legitimately sing that song like all day, every day.
There you go.
When I left NXT for the first time, I left way too soon. And I left a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish on the table.
Yeah, he sounds like he's speaking plain English.
Like his Nigerian accent.
I am back to change history. Apollo Crews is back to make history.
God damn, he found his first name too.
Yeah.
He's becoming a babyface again. So the way you make him a babyface is you whitewash him.
You and I will be making some history together.
And you give him a first name back.
You give him a first name back, yeah. What the people want.
We're still resting in peace with Alexander and Antonio and then even to an extent Langston.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back here. Let's go the next day. We have a big, big show. Well, no, not a big show because no more BS.
No more BS.
Bianca Belair retains the Raw Women's Championship by defeating Asuka and Becky Lynch. Stealing the win from Becky Lynch. That was Becky's triumph.
Five-star match. Fucking fantastic.
I mean, that was the best match of the pay-per-view. That match should have been the main event.
We knew it was going to be fucking good. And thankfully they delivered.
I think it was, in my opinion, the second best match of the night. But it definitely, I mean, and mine's just for other reasons. But yeah, definitely probably the match of the night. Definitely was a fucking banger. Those three ladies cooked, and I mean, and we all, like you said, we all expected them to, but
yeah,
fantastic. I could watch those three ladies all like every show.
In any combination, I would all day, every day.
Yep.
In the three-way, in any combination of singles matches, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and realistically, you know, they are three of the best women's wrestlers, you know, especially on the roster, but, you know, I would, you know, dare say that, you know, the world as well.
I would agree.
So, yeah, we saw that on paper, and we were like, that's one to fucking watch. And like I said, we were not disappointed. They brought it, and they all brought
their opened the show A-game. Too.
Yeah, yeah, which was a little
what a surprising. Fucking way to start.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also given that, you know, in those combinations, they've main evented Raws, they've main evented previous pay per views, you know,
WrestleManias.
Yeah, the feud has been going on a long time. It's been going on well over a year at this point, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a surprise to see it open the show, but sometimes you need that big match that's going to get people fucking going and going, all right, this show is going to be fucking good. And
it got, you know, Chicago hyped as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
Chicago State hype. Kind of,
okay, you know, Mojo.
But
they're only hyped for Con.
The show was kind of like bookended. I will say, and we'll discuss that as we go on.
Okay.
Chicago stays hype. Chicago's a wrestling city. You can't deny they cheer for tables. They would have cheered for anything and everything, and they'd have cheered loud like it was the best thing ever. That's a wrestling city in a small, intimate arena. It's what they needed other than to make every match a Hell in a Cell, which, you know, hey, I thought that's
hate
what that
in
was.
A crate. It is hate in a crate.
Lockdown.
Yeah, well, they started off, and I was really mad they started because I didn't think anybody could have topped what they did. And for my opinion, nobody did, and I watched the whole thing.
Just disappointed you didn't use the correct lingo.
The hate in the crate, I couldn't go hate in the crate because I was watching it and I have not been keeping up with the E. So silly me, I forgot this is sports entertainment. I was expecting every match or at least, you know, some titles to be contended for in the hate in the crate, as you call it. Oh, so when
titles? No, you know, we just fight hate in the crate for shits and gigs.
No, I mean,
it, anymore.
What was the point? This could have been in your house, part two.
Hold on. The match that was in the Hell in a Cell deserved to be in the Hell in a Cell because it was the end of a feud, which is what I mean. But you're not just gonna randomly throw a.
But at the same time, the typically why you do a cage match, you know, historically, is that to keep the wrestlers contained within the ring and the ringside area, to make sure no one who's not supposed to be an active participant in the match gets involved physically in said match. You know, those are the historic reasons why you do a cage match.
Yeah. And Seth has a history of running away.
But there's also a history with the ladies there, too, where that conflict, like y'all said, over here.
But his running away didn't affect any of the matches versus Cody. It wasn't like he ran out and got himself counted out, and that's how the match ended. It wasn't like, you know, Seth had henchmen who kept running in and causing the matches to be affected directly because of interference, that where you had to do something to keep other people out. It was just they'd wrestled a few times, so now we decide we got to give them a gimmick stipulation. We can't just have it be a straight up match. And it's the Hate in a Crate pay per view, so we got to put somebody in it at least.
I think
so. Much get it in there.
Cody asked, "I volunteer as a tribute," and like, okay.
Yeah. And Chicago loves Cody.
Bobby Lashley defeats Omis and MVP.
It's a fun little match. Again,
the right guy wins.
I wonder what they're going to do with Omis.
No tunnel still, so I'm not on board with the MVP.
They blew the tunnel money on freaking Pyro, man. And that was a waste in my opinion, but, you know.
Look, when Teddy Long took his tunnel, Teddy Long took the tunnel. It is gone forever. He burned it in the backyard.
It's in Teddy's garage here in East Point.
You can't hear the clock ticking anymore.
They're going to use it at the face-to-face pay-per-view when they finally hit Fight TV.
Damn it, I was waiting on that.
I'm done with y'all.
So Lashley took a fan's wrestling belt and started, like, celebrating with it? Is that what I saw?
Did he?
Oh, did I see the Monday
Raw? No. That was at the pay-per-view. After his big win, he went out into the audience, and in the midst of his celebrating, he grabbed the replica title, because before he jumped out of the ring, he did the whole, you know, spread the waist thing, like, hey, I'm going for a title, or I want the title. Not that anybody beat in this match had a title. So when he got out of the ring, there was a fan with the replica title. He grabbed the title, held it up, parading around a little bit, and, you know, kind of did a little more celebrating with fans before he gave the title back.
Before he gave it back to Mark. Yeah.
It was weird. I almost felt like the match ended too soon, and they were like, okay, Bobby, celebrate long. And he needed something to do. Because, I have not been watching, but to my knowledge, Bobby is not in the title picture currently.
No, that's what he is. Instead of for the championship. Right.
So I don't know if this was either a toll for him to kind of, you know, not for the take the title belt, but the whole indicate to the waist for the title just seemed really kind of off. Yeah. I thought maybe he took one to the head and he forgot where he was and that he was not, you know.
Get over the face, Bobby. Get out there with the people.
And I think we're at the point where there's not really a challenger for Roman at this point because, you know, he finished Mania and he's kind of been gone since because of injuries or whatnot. So there's not really a clear line for Bobby or for Roman. So yeah.
A lot of people are kind of trying to like tease that, like, hey, I want the next shot.
And everybody has been loving Bobby since 37, honestly, since he technically won the belt the first time. So, I mean, it's going to get a pop. You know, it'll get a pop. Why not? Fuck. Do it for the pops, bro.
I mean, it was like a house show move.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was 100%.
Yeah. Like a fan interaction thing that, like, you're supposed to be like, oh, cool. If I bring my replica belt, maybe the wrestler will grab it and hold it above his head, you know? Like,
Now it's event used merchandise. Whoever that is has got it on eBay as event.
Now it's on eBay. And then used, here's a screenshot snap of Bobby holding the belt above his head and me standing
there. I'm going to need Bobby to sign it first.
Shouldn't be that hard at this point. Trying to be a face. I'm sure they can catch him.
Get that JSA on it too.
Yeah, because we don't want to do no Beckett or anything else. We need the JSAs if it's going to be legit.
You need the JSA to get the maximum dollar amount.
Exactly.
On the Facebook groups.
And you want to double your price because, quote unquote, you know what you got.
That's it.
We spent too much time talking about Bobby Lashley. Y'all can love him. I will hard pass.
You don't like Bobby?
Not at all.
Your ass was cheering him at WrestleMania.
I was drunk.
He opened the show. He opened the show. And I know for a fact you hadn't had a drink yet. You hadn't had a drink yet. Hold up now. I was there. I got receipts.
I was there.
Just sniffing glue. And you weren't looking.
I was drunk.
I roomed with you. I know for a fact you didn't drink.
Patrick gave me a bottle. Just because you didn't see me drink doesn't mean that I didn't drink, sir.
Yeah, this is true. And she ended up taking two bottles.
It was after WrestleMania, so who the fuck knows? Yeah. We were separated for a little bit.
On that concourse, it got lit. That's all I'm saying.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my straw is broke.
All right. Well, that was too much time talking about Bobby Lashley. Kevin Owens peeing the Ezekiel because I guess Yeah.
Like a WrestleMania main event or should.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fine match. The storytelling was fine. I kind of enjoy the storytelling in this.
I like
story.
Ezekiel more than Elias. I will say that.
I don't. I like Ezekiel's brother better.
I don't like either of them. I liked when Corey Graves used to just rip that thunder and be like, "I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm in the area. I don't know where they're now, but I still have friends in there." This guy claims he's from the streets of Pittsburgh. Nobody who I know knows who the hell this guy is.
It's because they didn't want to walk with Elias.
Yep.
You got Corey Graves questioning your street credit. That's when you know it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
At least it's not a marriage he's questioning.
Judgment Day defeats AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Liv Morgan. Here, I was expecting to see a new member for Judgment Day, but it happens that a new member was revealed the following day on Monday Night Raw.
And somebody was relieved of their duties. Yeah, so you were partially right in your club there.
Fuck all of them, some bitches.
It doesn't really make sense, though, because they won the match at the pay-per-view. They were undefeated as a group. Why would you kick Edge out only to bring a guy who you just beat as your leader now?
Because they all a bunch of bitches. Fuck them. Treating Edge like that. Some bitches.
Finn's a demon. You want a demon to lead you, or do you want Edge to lead you? I'm taking a demon every time, okay?
Edge is a vampire.
Edge is not a vampire. He's a glampire at best because of his marriage. Not a vampire.
Look, you think you know him? You think you know him?
I think I know he got his ass laid out Monday. That's all I'm saying.
Hey.
By a real rock and roller.
No. By the prince. By the person who started a worldwide phenomenon. And he's a demon. And the man's got like 12 abs, okay? Let that man live and lead and wear the tiniest shorts ever. We are here for it.
Fuck Finn Balor. Fuck Rhea Ripley.
Wait.
And fuck Damian Priest.
I'll do one out of three.
Yeah, I'll do two out of three at the same time. But Priest can just go into the gutter. We don't need him.
They can all go in the gutter because they're trash for what they did to
Edge. They can wreck me. Anyway, back to wrestling.
Does this mean we're going to get Metalingus back? Because thank God.
I mean,
somebody was saying that the reason to turn what they did was because with Cody going out with injury,
top baby face.
So instead of making AJ Styles or Finn a top baby face because they were already close, we're gonna turn somebody again and then try to shoot for Edge versus Roman one more time, which it doesn't interest me at all. I would much rather see AJ Styles get that nod, maybe.
Edge versus Roman interests me more than the rumor.
What is the rumor?
The rumor was Randy Orton versus Roman at SummerSlam, with the story being that, you know, Roman interfered during the tag title match, which cost RK-Bro the belt. You know, Roman crushed Riddle, and kind of beat him up. So Orton's got beef, and Orton's, you know, the 20-year vet, you know, trying to reclaim his, you know, say, hey, man, you're not the king of the WWE. I am. I've been here, et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of the story.
To get number 17. Because doesn't he have – no, he has 14. Never mind. Does he have 15?
He's been floating around doing a lot of tag titles and doing for a long time. Like, he usually has good – like, always in programs – but for a long. He's kind of been away from the main title for a long time.
How many titles does he have?
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's 15. I would think
it's 14 or 15. It has to be.
No, I don't think he's that many.
Let's see. What does Wikipedia say? Wikipedia says
our producer slash fact checker should already be on this. We shouldn't be having to look this up ourselves.
Let's see. He is a 10-time WWE champion, a 4-time world heavyweight champion. So 14.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that many. Yeah. I was thinking just maybe 10 or so. Yeah.
Huh. And you know, good on Orton. He's the one of the core. Well,
not the core.
He's 1.5 of the core four that actually stuck around. So good for him.
Yeah, of that generation that you know was supposed to be, you know, through the Ruthless Aggression into PG, and except you know. And all that stuff. He's always fucking been there.
He's the only one that didn't either go to Hollywood or go to UFC or whatever Shelton Benjamin did.
Went to Japan, went to Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Which and I still say 1.5 because
Shelton X Benjamin was a member of Suzuki Gear.
I hear they show no mercy.
In its incarnation in the Noah, as well as their first run in the New Japan, and it was also
got
part
no
of
reaction.
Takamichi, no, we that was the point. We're giving it no reaction because he didn't do it at the proper time.
Yes, it's coming. Okay, it's coming.
I do it when I want now, and since it got no reaction, it's going to be a while before you hear it again. But I still say 1.5 because Cena still stuck around for essentially 20 years. He just took the last year and a half off. Which, I mean, shit, you can't blame
him. I would too. Yeah,
the man never took a day off in his fucking life.
He went to play Peacemaker.
He's still not taking a day off. He's still not taking a day off. He's all over the place. He's in this show. He's in this movie. He's in this fucking commercial. He's in that fucking commercial.
Dude, like every single fucking commercial is either Cena in it or Cena voiceover. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy.
He does that fucking stupid Wipeout show. And then he's got Peacemaker and the movies and the show. The guy's not taking a break. He's just not taking bumps, basically. But his schedule, I guarantee you, is as stressful as ever.
But that's okay, boys and girls, because he's coming back very soon.
That's the definition of hustle, loyalty, and respect. The chain gang has proved him well.
Which I find of all the places that you could celebrate 20 years of John Cena, Laredo, Texas is where you pick.
Yeah.
Apparently. You got
Cena had some good times in Laredo, Texas.
Cena couldn't
find Laredo, Texas. You could talk about on camera?
Some of those are reserved for the Broken Skull session about 10 years.
I'm shocked he hasn't had a broken skull. Honestly,
the others you'll have to wait till his book in like 25 years when he's all mad, just doesn't give a fuck and just dishes about everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, John Cena follows me on Twitter.
You're lucky ducky.
And we share a birthday.
Maybe you're Cena.
And he's from that area that you like all your sports teams to be from.
I know.
Yes.
One day, I'm going to tweet him happy birthday, and he's going to respond to me.
So I'm happy birthday.
Because I've done it for the past 6 years. I always say happy birthday to my birthday twin, John Cena, and he has never responded. But one day.
He's gonna.
I have faith.
one. You gotta have faith.
Because you gotta have faith.
All right, next up, Madcap Moss defeats Happy Corbin. I don't care about this match.
I mean, the match could have been worse. I didn't hate it.
It certainly could have been.
It could have been worse. I watched it. That was the worst thing ever.
Had good storytelling. Could have been worse.
Worst thing ever? Are you serious?
Even 1994 WCW exists.
Even worse than Mae Young Birth in a Hand of live TV. That was like, I was like, why am I watching this match?
Don't even.
I was not drunk enough for that, and I was trying.
That was ready, baby.
It was a wrestling match. Like it was there. It wasn't horrifying. It wasn't, you know. But yeah, I still don't give a shit about Madcap Moss. And I want Corbin to go back and be angry and angsty and hurt people. Yeah, I don't want him with a smile on his face.
I want my theme back.
I want him fucking breaking people, and I want him in the days. Okay.
His theme song was the best theme song in WWE, and it needs to come back.
Right. Moving on. Theory defeats Mustafa Ali to retain the United States Championship.
I was very entertained by this match, actually.
Theory is fucking good in the ring. Like, he knows his way around the ring. He's just a douchebag and you know, possibly problematic. And, like, for his character, that's what he's supposed to be. But, you know, they mesh really well together. I mean, you look at Theory, you know, the work that we saw of Theory before joining WWE. You know, he and Mustafa Ali do a lot of, like, similar moves, you know, tucks and rolls and you know, these kind of things. Movements are similar within those guys. So I knew that they were going to have, you know, a good match, but I'm just disappointed by the outcome, man.
Look, you should have known what was going to happen. They were in Chicago.
I know they got.
I was hoping
in the hometown, right? You got to lose in your hometown. That's how it works.
You are not winning in your hometown.
Like, I was hoping, because, again, Mustafa Ali came back. There was controversy with him being gone, wanting his release. Now here he is on a major pay-per-view.
America challenging for the United States Championship.
It was a body blow.
Backstage promo. It was fucking good, too. He said, I'm not the champion that America wants, but I'm the champion America needs, and Mustafa Ali is America will become a reality. I will be the United States Champion.
Ali deserves it.
Near outside my house, so just be wary if my connection begins to falter, friends.
It's raining at your house? That must be nice.
Yeah, it's just a big thunder and a flash of light around the windows.
Same here.
Well, it's beautiful outside of my house, so I'll carry the show if I have to, boys and girl.
Well, I'm connected on my phone, so technically I can still go. Well, although, now to think about it, the hosting video recording is actually on my laptop, so that goes down. Well. All right, okay, let's see, where are we? Main event time. Cody Rhodes defeats Seth Rollins. Oh my gosh, they announced the pectoral injury before the show. Man, that was a nasty injury.
Yeah, it ain't pretty.
It looked terrible, yeah.
I couldn't even.
It looked unreal.
Yeah.
I
thought it
was makeup. I was like, wait, is that makeup? Like, for real? What did they do?
No, he just got fucked up.
I mean, kudos for him to go out there even with the pain and whatever meds I'm sure they gave him.
I mean, if you think about it, they said that, you know, the doc cleared him because he was like, I mean, you can't tear it any more than it already is. So, I mean, granted, yeah, the guy's not wrong. So, I mean...
Hunter have a similar injury? I feel like he tore a pec and his whole arm was shot like during a match. Yeah. Like he couldn't move it.
Yeah.
Here's Cody coming out there like, let me move this arm. Let's take some bumps on this and let's I'm like, are you kidding me, bro?
Look, Cody was doing the ultimate Triple H tribute, okay?
I mean, they did break out the sledgehammer too, so yeah.
Okay. I know the two kids fought over the sledgehammer.
The tribute. Let's rewind a second. When Seth came out with that crazy coat, like I was like, "What is this damn coat and these yellow ass shoes?" Okay, but when he did the reveal, I screamed. I was like, "You, this, ooh.
You had to know something like that was coming."
The way he just like you knew whatever he was like a flasher. You know, whatever he's about to do is just gonna be like nasty. Like, oh, what is this fool about to do?
I was so confused. Yeah, I was so confused because I'm like, okay, why is he holding this coat close to his chest? I was like, he must have something underneath that he doesn't want us to. Oh, it's the polka dots.
Cool, dusty, like,
son of a bitch.
I was like, the only fault I could have found with this whole like match is that Cody should have came out first. And we should have saw the reveal and see Cody's face with Seth the polka dots. Yeah, that would have been just like,
you always bring the heel out first to get that heat, brother. And then the baby face comes out as the hero.
Yeah, I would have rather
ask you a question.
Reverse that.
Let me ask you a question, Mika. Did you almost say dashing Cody Rhodes?
I might have. He was dashing until I saw that. Heard the D.
I heard the. And I was just like, oh, okay, dashing. I mean,
he dashing until he took that jacket off, and I was like, yo, what's wrong with the man's chest?
There's nothing wrong with his chest. It's just smoke and mirrors.
Them mirrors was really smoky, because I was like, nope. It was uncomfortable, and I think that helped even more for the match, because I didn't want to see it get worse.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't.
Oh, you did. You did.
But it was a car wreck.
It added a lot of great drama to the match. Yeah.
You saw it get worse.
Steph obviously can't ignore the injury. You know, you have to attack an injury like that, especially as the villain. You know, so it made for some really good storytelling in the match.
I just want to, like, legit shout out Seth because, I mean, you could tell he was doing his damnedest to work, but at the same time, that man was protecting Cody, like, hardcore. So props to Seth for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like his real brother. Like, you're my brother.
For real. Like, he was Roman Reigns or something. Like, he was legit protecting that dude. I was going to say Dustin, but okay. No, I was talking about Seth, like protecting him like he was.
Shield of Brothers. Yeah, I got you. Shield of Brothers. I meant Blood Brothers, but, you know, stronger than Blood Brothers. I got you. I'm with you now. Okay.
There's always a plan B. But no, like, legitimately, they cooked. And I thought that was the match of the night just because it was basically a one arm Cody Rhodes fighting Seth Rollins, who's arguably one of the best professional wrestlers on the planet, and was still going toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah. And again, it was one of those, like, come on, one arm, there's no way he's going to win. No way. Oh, my God. They let him beat him. They let him beat him three times in a row. They let him beat him with one arm in Hell in a Cell. This is crazy. What happens next? Seth already kind of cracked up.
And now say that again. Happen? Say that again. He beat Seth Rollins three times in a row. If you're listening out there, AEW, he beat Seth Rollins three times in a row.
Three times.
Time he essentially had one arm tied behind his back. He would beat the man with one arm.
Anybody from All Elite Wrestling, Cody beat Seth Rollins three times in a row, Maxwell.
Hey.
What about the weight belt?
Which one?
The one that Seth had with the polka dots that said Visionary? That shit was hype. I was here for this whole fucking feud. Like, legitimately, I was telling Danger last night, I don't know when it happened or how it happened, but Cody has snuck into my top five current.
I mean, I wouldn't go that crazy, but he's, I mean, I was like, yesterday, I was like, or not yesterday, at the paper, I was like, oh, dang, I think I now like Cody Rhodes.
He is presented as a superstar in WWE. He works the WWE style better than the All Elite style. It's just, I don't know what it is, but the man is a superstar. The adrenaline is in his soul.
Bread and butter. Oh, Lord, here we go. Oh, in the lyrics. But again, Cody works this. I remember when Cody left the WWE, when he first went to the Indies, when he was doing meet and greets, he was working the Evolves and all these other shows. Yeah. Cody is so WWE, it didn't turn off. Like, you know, autograph sessions, he usually would just sign, go, smile, picture, bye. Cody's having full, in-depth conversations with people. He was doing the WWE schmooze, grooves, and, you know, kiss baby, shake hands, and make them feel good. And it was like, oh, he never
Cody stopped. Made it an experience. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not stopped. Like he never, in my opinion, he never learned the independent style. He always wrestled like he was wrestling on Monday Night Raw.
He forced everybody else to try and fit his style. And if you look at when he was in bigger spots, he worked people who were capable of working that style. And that's also with All Elite Wrestling, like he, you know, part of it was his booking, but also is because, he didn't really wrestle the style that most of the other matches fit under. You know, so he had those two really good matches in AEW when he started against WWE guys in Dustin Rhodes and, you know, Sean Spears, Ty Dillinger. Those were his two best matches that he had in All Elite. And then it came to him wrestling a bunch of other guys and wonky booking and all this. And that's what turned the fans off. You know, the fans turned on him. So now that he's back in his element, and like you said, he's treated like a worldwide international superstar. And he just completely and utterly revels in it. He is a professional's professional as far as those things come. You know, I mean, we saw him in meet and greets early in his release career. He was always dressed to the nines, total pro, taking time to make sure every single person had an experience with him. Like that's the shit that he's best at is that kind of PR, that kind of representation, you know, like you said, shaking hands, kissing babies, all that good stuff. And in WWE, that stuff is highly prized and rewarded, where in All Elite, it wasn't really taken as serious, I think.
And it's not a knock on All Elite's wrestling style, because, I mean, like, it's the indie style that we love. But at the same time, the indie wrestling doesn't...
You love Kenny Omega, so don't tell us you don't love that indie
wrestling. Yeah.
Hey, that's a different style, all right?
It's the exact same style. And it's not... Even if you think about it, like the Seth Rollins, I don't know if Seth could go back to the indies and work the old Seth Rollins style. It's been so long. I don't know if he can still do it.
Tyler Black is dead. Yeah, you're right.
Look, we did it for her. Okay.
Fans wouldn't want to see him do that at this point either.
Exactly. Yeah. Like slam dancing Seth Rollins isn't going to ever make an appearance again. You know, but all of the indie people have kind of that went to WWE and have had any ounce of success kind of abandoned the indie style. I mean, Seth still works kind of indie, but at the same time, like,
but it's a controlled indie.
It's exactly.
He looks like he's doing some reckless stuff, but it's still so controlled where he's like, I don't dive every night or every weekend. I do it once every like 15 months.
And where, you know, in every match in Ring of Honor.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and stuff, you know, the same
way. Yeah.
They adapted their style to where they still keep that kind of indie-ish, you know, elements, but it's the WWE style.
Bryan Danielson did the same thing. CM Punk did the same thing. Like I said, any of them that had them.
Yeah.
And then they got Kenta and was like, wait a second, hold on.
Between Daniel Bryan and CM Punk stealing all kinds of shit, and when they finally
got we already have this guy.
We don't have a spot for you anymore, brother.
And like I said, any of the indie guys that have a modicum of success in WWE stray from the indie style. That's why I think Caval couldn't work, because he was still trying to low key every single night, and you can't do that. Like Mika said, you know, Seth's doing a controlled indie. On in Ring of Honor, he would do this Phoenix Splash almost every single match. Now he busts it out for WrestleMania.
It wasn't part of his regular repertoire.
Yeah. And now, I mean, it's still not the finish, but he'll only bust it out once every blue moon or a big match when it calls for it. Yeah. It's a controlled indie. But yeah, Cody fits in WWE like a glove. And maybe that's why I have started to come around on him. I don't know.
I mean, he's winning me over, and I was a hardcore.
Yeah, you hated Cody.
Cody, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, the old matches he's had with Seth Rollins, fantastic. Every single one. I mean, you know, it's just people still rave about the WrestleMania one that they had together. You know, I'm also not a big fan of the same match happening at every pay-per-view, but man, these two, they've done it. It's like, okay, it's kudos to both guys too, right? I mean, you know, some people can only stand Seth Rollins so much, but...
I could watch Seth Rollins every second of every day. That's how good that man is.
Another very good professional wrestling match. I mean, for me, this did it. And for the show, I got to give it A-. I mean, B+, sorry.
I'm giving it an A-. I actually thought we were going to agree with something, Patrick.
All right, well, you know what? I'm going with A-. I'm sticking to A-. Might as well.
That was the best booked wrestling show that I have seen WWE put on in quite some time.
It had a great opening, and it had a fantastic ending.
Yep, great opening, great ending. Yeah. The mid was pretty good. It was like Vince. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was like, "It's like Vince McMahon woke up after a 12-year sleep and said, shit, I still know how to book."
Damn, not 12-year sleep.
And we also were mentioning how it's kind of got the TK Brigade in a tizzy.
I was going to say in a tizzy, TK Brigade tizzy. I give it a B+. It was good. I watched the entire thing. It did keep me engaged in certain points, though.
You're engaged? Oh my God.
No, I'm engaged to watching, you know, WWE again now. Like, I turned on Raw again. Just to see, because this was a Raw pay-per-view for the most part. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, essentially.
Let me see what I've been missing out on. Like, when they broke Michael Cole, I was like, damn, Cole. Where's Pat? I mean, Corey, we like you and all, but damn, Pat can't even get a
seat at the table. Corey. I don't like Corey.
I like this Beetlejuice outfit. But it was
that's crazy, right? Like, they put on maybe the best pay-per-view of the year for WWE in years. And there wasn't a title match, like a world title match.
No, not at all. And again, that's why I was like, again, I wasn't watching. I have been watching. And I'm like, okay, wait, this is the main. I get it. But where's Roman? Where's who? He has both titles. I mean, the tag team titles can't come out. Where's the Intercontinental? Something, you know? I was like, oh, okay.
I'm gonna be hell honest, to sell. I don't even know who the Intercontinental Champion is.
Oh, damn.
Is there still even Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah.
They unified all the belts. Like, the women's title is now the IC belt. Who knows?
Who the son of a bitch? Who is the Intercontinental Champion? Hold on.
Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah. For a couple more days until Gunther gets a hold of him.
That's true.
And then Gunther's going to chop his ass back to NXT, too.
Chop his ass back to Best of Super Juniors. That's how I'm already going to hit that motherfucker. So I give it a B+. And the reason being, like I mentioned, it was a bookend show. The middle was good, but not great. But then you had an outstanding opener and an outstanding closer. And like I said, the middle was good, not great, but it was good enough to keep that momentum going until you got back to the hot closer. So that's why I gave it a B plus.
Those that gave it Bs have no adrenaline in their soul.
Do better next time.
I guess one would have to be in possession of their own soul in order to have adrenaline in it, right? Like if say somebody gave you something and in that return you gave them your soul, some kind of handshake deal on a crossroad at midnight or something, you wouldn't really be able to have adrenaline in it, right? Soul.
The Undertaker was digging holes and taking souls. Does that count?
No, that's very different than what I was referring to.
That's okay, because the Undertaker is the biggest mark in wrestling.
Well,
get it, because his name's Mark.
And he's a fucking monkey tracker.
I'm sleepy.
Well, you can rest for the rest of this part.
Is it time to talk about New Japan?
It is. It is.
Yay, it's nap time.
But please stay.
Don't snore on camera.
That's my gimmick. Don't steal my gimmick. The finals of the Best Super Juniors, of course, Hiromu Takahashi and El Desperado. Time bomb ticks until this time, and your new New Japan Best Super Juniors champion winner is Hiromu Takahashi. 30 minutes. What a really fun match. So fun match. So this probably again continues to have some of the best matches to me, the MVP of the tournament.
Well, and here's what I'm talking about. When I mentioned last week about how I was slightly disappointed by the winners of the block, and ultimately I was also kind of disappointed by the finals itself. It was that, Desperado and Hiromu, when first announced, they were kind of seen as the favorites of each block. And they win the block. And then they go on to have a match that we had a couple years ago in the finals with the exact same result. So I was hoping that since the borders were open again and we had different people and new faces, that we might be able to get somebody else in the finals. We might be able to make, either make a new star at the top of the division or have the champion make it to the finals for the first time in many years. And we didn't get that. We got Desperado and Hiromu, and that's fine. These guys have put on great matches against each other. But I also felt like the match that they had didn't really live up to some of their previous encounters. I felt they could have done different things with the storytelling, and they just didn't. And the match just kind of felt a little bit flat to me, because I guess I was kind of disappointed that it was the two of them. And, we didn't have – they were the top six guys to finish in the tournament. I wanted at least one of them to not be Hiromu or Desperado. Give me Eagles. Mm. Give me Austin. Give me El Fantasmo. Give me Ishimori. Mix it up a little bit is what I was hoping for. And instead, essentially, we got business as usual. And like I said, that's fine, because they have great matches against each other. They're both, these guys are still vying for the number one and the number two stars in the division, even though they're not champion.
But yet again, I just felt the match kind of fell a little flat. And then Hiromu winning to me was also kind of, I was like, okay, like, I get it. He's the biggest star in the division, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, like, you're not going to be able to build other stars around him if he continues to be the top guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that since this was a return match from a finals, you know, 2 years ago, that this time Desperado would win. I thought you could have played up the injury to Hiromu's leg more, and that would explain why the match went differently than it did the first time. But they did not. And, you know, despite Desperado beating Hiromu in Hiromu's own match style at Wrestle Kingdom, he couldn't do it here in Best of Super Juniors. So, like I said, a little disappointed. And then, of course, that means we get, you know, Hiromu versus Taiji Ishimori, which will be fine. Yet, you know, these guys have been pretty much battling throughout the division since Hiromu returned from excursion when Ishimori was champion at the time. So it'll be a fun match to see where they've come and how they've grown since then. But at the same time, I was hoping for Desperado to win in that slot because Desperado would be looking to get back in that title picture after he lost the belt to Eagles, and then Eagles lost it to Ishimori. So, a little disappointed. Just kind of felt flat after the tournament had so many great matches from so many different competitors. I felt the main event just kind of fell a little flat. And I'm sorry that my voice puts you to sleep, but somebody's snoring on the feed again.
It's not me.
Not I.
Yeah, well, we knew it was that one there.
Okay, so moving on, New Japan are crowning the New Japan Strong Tag Team Champions.
All right, okay. I guess I missed that news.
It came out today, this evening. They announced they're going to have an 8-team single elimination tournament in California. And of course, when they tape Strong in Charlotte, North Carolina, they will crown a champion.
Okay, so the finals will be in Charlotte.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Woo. Have they announced? And nope, it's Hardy Boys Country. We've been over this. Have they announced any of the teams yet?
Not that I have seen.
Okay.
But let's see. No, I haven't seen anything.
Mm-mm. Okay.
But woo.
You want me to call my people? Not,
yeah, it has not been released yet.
But it's the heart of Flair Country.
It's not. We talked about this.
But it's Flair Country. Look, we got to give him something. He's about to die in a wrestling ring.
Well, assuming he makes it to the wrestling ring.
That's what he gets, that fucker. Fuck that guy.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I say whenever people want to sing his praises on the Facebook wrestling group I'm in. I always say, fuck that cracker. It usually gets a good couple pops.
And angry faces, I'm sure.
No angry faces.
Okay.
Really?
So.
Yeah.
Well, hot damn.
So I don't know if you guys noticed, of course, that
I know
when. When this is now, before we close out, because I just found out not necessarily breaking news, but the former Fabian Aichner, of course, did not make it to SmackDown with Gunther. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's been rebranded, and he's not Giovanni Vinci.
Well, he was Italian originally. That's why it was Fabian Aichner. That was, but now they just made him even more Italian.
Even more.
I mean, he's Italianist Italian.
There you go. Yeah, he's not. I really liked him in his first several appearances on NXT. You know, back with the Cruiserweight Classic and stuff. The guy did some wild shit, and you know, he looked a lot bigger than the 205. He looked like an enormous 205, and he did some really fantastic stuff. And he was starting to get kind of this little bit of a cult. You know, people were liking him and stuff, and then he just kind of disappeared. And then the next time we saw him was pretty much with Imperium. So if they can bring him in that original form, I would love to see him.
Is he all Italian? Italian.
I wonder if he's Leonardo's brother. No, that's Da Vinci, right? No, I guess not.
DiCaprio.
That joke had no adrenaline in it, soul.
Yeah, no, it definitely did not. I didn't even believe in it. I don't know why I even said it. Yeah. All right. The full card for Dominion is ready. I'm hyped. I'm hyped here. Okada versus Jay White for the World Heavyweight Championship. Juice Robinson versus Sonata versus Ospreay for the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. Tama Tonga versus Carl Anderson for the Never Open Weight Championship. Shingo versus Taishi for the King of Pro Wrestling Trophy. Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens versus United Empire for the IWGP Tag Team Titles. And the House of Torture defends the Open Weight Six-Man Tag Team Championships. Against Sexy Junior, Aldis Bradley, Joshua Kanemaru. How about this? Ace Austin joins Bullet Club.
He does indeed. Turning his, he helps them win in a multiple tag match, and then afterward, he beats the shit out of his buddy, Alex Zane. Backstage, and said he had so much fun in Japan, he's not ready to leave yet. But when he does come back, he can't wait to give a two sweet to his Bullet brother, Chris Bay. Yeah. So Austin will be, of course, coming back to Impact soon, as they have their pay-per-view coming up soon. And he'll be defending his X Division Championship in Ultimate X.
Nice move.
It fits him, you know. And they were talking about, you know, how Impact, of course, he's kind of a top Rudo, and then he was getting such a fan welcome in Japan. He just apparently was not used to that, and yeah, sided with the catalyst of professional wrestling with the Bullet Club, baby.
Yeah. The Bullet Club's too sweet. What else is happening? Oh, yeah. And, of course, there's going to be a Road to show in it's there. And that's where Bone Soldier will defend.
Speaking of the company that Ace Austin works for.
Title against Hiromu. What about it? Yes. Speaking of?
Eric was speaking something while Patrick was talking.
Oh.
I was waiting too. Sound like he had some scoops about Nashville.
Yeah, go, Eric. Oh.
Yeah.
Were you just talking?
It's okay. It was a
video game.
I mean, kind of. So I listened to My World. No, I was listening to My World, and he was willing to take a pay cut to go back to Impact because that's how loyal he was. Impact didn't want him.
Didn't want AJ Styles?
Did not want AJ Styles. man was willing to take less dates and less money, and they did not want him. So he went to WWE.
Who was that?
I do remember that being the talk that they didn't appreciate him. They were willing to pay him. So he was from Greater Pressures, and all of a sudden they were trying to keep him at the end.
Yep. Well, this was after his New Japan run, and then like he came back and he was like, okay, what do you think, Impact? And Impact's like, I mean, we can still use you, but you're not going to get paid, you know, the big bucks like Jarrett was paying you. And then, you know, you're not going to be a top guy. And so he was just like, okay, fuck it. I'll go.
Yeah, I mean, that transitional period for Impact really kind of screwed it a little bit. They had to, like, put the restart button, I think, I say, a lot of things. Because, you paid that man whatever he wants.
Exactly. He was the heart and soul of Impact, point blank.
Yeah. So, and he went out, he made himself a huge star, and then I never got that. But hey, look, Vince got him, and all of a sudden now he's got a lifer, you know. So
I guess you could say TNA didn't want none.
Mm-hmm. Nope, they didn't want none.
They were looking scared.
But you know who wants?
TNA wanted some. Impact Wrestling didn't want. That's the difference.
Them Canadians. All right, well, Impact may want none, but I know that we want more. So we will have more FOW Live coming up in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, leading to the Slam of the Summer and a lot more. I guess, yeah, Forbidden Door is happening this month also. Money in the Bank in Vegas, not the stadium, now in the arena.
Apparently Cody Rhodes will be ready for it.
And hey, Super Cena can do it. You know, I mean, Cena came back quickly from his pec muscle injury, so.
What are they doing? Inserting metal into him? Like, is he about to become a Homelander for
Mika,
real?
He has adrenaline in his soul.
Mm-hmm. But that body is got a hole in his fucking pec.
All you need is adrenaline in your soul. Look, his father said when he was younger that hard times breed better men.
Mm-hmm. What did his wife say? His wife said, sit your ass down.
We don't give a shit what his wife has to say.
But if you...
We just want to.
But if you care what we have.
Randy Rhodes, but don't let her wrestle. Don't give her a fucking microphone. Just let us bask in the awe that is her beauty.
But if you care about what we have to say, make sure you check out all of the backlog of episodes, including times when we actually did a little bit of interviews. I still can't believe we did those. But man, the first one was quite something. I remember when we're talking to one Murder One, and then all of a sudden he disappeared. Claimed the battery on his phone died. That was an interesting one, and sounds a like lot he had more. Yeah, he knows back then. So check Podbean, Stitcher, Google, Amazon Music, Spotify. Did I say Apple? Sure, Verb and anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. Check us out on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.